With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Five Times Podcast. To see a legend near you, check out the events page on our website, fivetimes.co.uk.
Big welcome to the Five Times Podcast. Neil Mellor with you to talk about another great week for Liverpool Football Club. Two Anfield wins, of course, against Sunderland in the Premier League, and one that takes us to another League Cup semi-final with that win over Leeds United. Nobody's won it more times than us, but can we go that one step further this year after the disappointment against City on penalties last season? Have we got more chance of doing it also with the young lads who've been excellent in coming in for the games so far in the cup run? We'll discuss that with one of our best ever and a man who witnessed all of our big stars emerge in recent times. John Barnes will join us. Also got Terry McDermott. He was at the Leeds victory. He's going to be chatting to us too, mentioning Lucas and his admiration for him as a professional footballer. And also Hugh McCauley. He's steered through many youth talents throughout the years. So how would he deal with this latest crop? There's been loads of gigs announced by the Five Times legends in the run-up to Christmas and into the new year too. So check out all those details on www.fivetimes.co.uk for details on that. Also on there in the shop section, some great gift ideas for Christmas presents as we approach the festive period for any Liverpool fan in your life. Right, Five Times Podcast, let's get started.
To hear previous podcasts, check out and rate our page on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Okay, now on the Five Times Podcast, it's time for one of our best. Let's start with the headline maker this week. John Barnes joins us. John, Ben Woodburn, he's got all the headlines this week after that impressive display against Leeds United, getting that goal, of course. How impressed were you?
Yeah, of course, we know the quality that a lot of the players have at the academy. But once again, Jurgen Klopp went to great pains, and he's absolutely right in not getting carried away and not to make comparisons. Of course, he broken Michael Owen's record as the youngest now scorer for Liverpool. But the difference is that when Michael Owen became the youngest scorer for Liverpool, he was going to be a regular in the team from that day and play regularly and be our main striker. Whereas the comparisons, because I doubt whether he's going to be involved in the squad, maybe in the cup, possibly, but for the rest of the season. So we shouldn't really put too much pressure on them once again, because we've seen it so often. So it's a bit unfair for us to be doing that.
What's next then for someone like Ben Woodburn? He's only 17, you mentioned. He gets that goal against Leeds. Will he be involved perhaps at the weekend against Bournemouth or not?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, he played in the cup. He's going to go back to doing what he has done. You know, there are very few Wayne Rooney's, Michael Owens who come along. And, of course, there are lots of good young players and they've got great potential, but they have to handle them properly. And just for the very fact that he played and scored doesn't mean that he's going to be on the bench necessarily. I mean, he may. I don't know what Jurgen Klopp's thinking. But I know that he is not going to be in Liverpool's squad, generally speaking, between now and the end of the season. So to then either put that much pressure on him or to tell him, you know, how great he is because he scored a goal against Leeds, to then heap that pressure on him, I think it's not fair on him.
Another young player who did extremely well was young Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's only 18, put in a fantastic ball, didn't he, for Origi's opening goal?
Absolutely. And once again, is he going to be playing right back for Liverpool or full back for Liverpool in the next 6 months? I doubt it very much as well. So we have to allow these players time to develop, and they develop where they are. They're in the right place at the academy, playing in the under-21s. And, you know, for the future, it looks good, but not if we overemphasize their potential. They've got good potential, but they haven't realised it yet. So, you know, we'll have to keep his feet firmly on the ground as well.
How do you fulfil that potential? We talk about avoiding distractions all the time. These are very, very young players who...
Well, first of all, you have to say, when Michael Owen was a 16-year-old player, 17, he got in the first team and he was a regular in the first team. These aren't Michael Owens. They're not Wayne Rooney's. They're not Robbie Fowler's. So, you know, fulfilling that potential, is there a potential to go all the way and become a Michael Owen? Probably not. But they can still have great careers without being Michael Owens. So to be comparing them with the Michael Owens and the Wayne Rooney's, I think is very unfair. Now, fulfilling their potential is to maximize the ability they have. And is maximizing their ability? I don't know enough about them to say maximize their ability means that they're going to be Liverpool's first team next year. That is probably not going to be the case. So that is why you just have to allow them to develop at their own pace and see where it takes them.
I have to ask you about Ben Woodburn, just finally on him, because a lot's been said about what country he's going to represent. The English FA expressed an interest in him, but of course he's played for Wales under 19. We've seen Wales do that before with young Harry Wilson, who's at Liverpool's academy. Played, got one cap. He hasn't been seen since in the Wales squad. Do you think it's going to be a good battle between England and Wales for Ben Woodburn to see who he eventually plays for?
Well, the battle that young Mr. Woodburn has is to try and see whether he can get in Liverpool's first team squad again. You know, you're talking about playing for Wales, but he can't even get in Liverpool's team. Because, of course, because he's scored now, people are talking about a clamour for whether he's going to play for England and Wales. And we've seen so many young players who wouldn't even make it to England or Wales under 21s, but because they've done well, we're now, you know, saying who should he choose to play for. What he should do is try and improve as a footballer. And then the international situation will take care of itself, because he's not ready to play for Wales or England. Even the under-21s, he's not ready to play for them on a regular basis. So if all of a sudden we then start to overemphasise how good, you know, we can overemphasize how good we think he possibly is, but at this moment in time, he's not ready for even England on a 21 team on a regular basis, or Wales on a 21 team on a regular basis. So to be thrust him into the limelight of playing for England or Wales, I think it's once again unfair on him.
Yeah, John, the young lads did ever so well, didn't they? They were involved in that impressive League Cup victory against Leeds in the quarterfinals. But let's not forget, we progressed through now to the semi-finals of the League Cup. How important is the League Cup for Liverpool this season?
A trophy is always important. You know, because of course, once upon a time, when the importance of either the league or the Champions League took precedence for a lot of the big clubs to play second string teams, then all of a sudden you see that fans want a trophy if you're not going to win the league, and the League Cup had to kind of added importance. And of course, you use the opportunity to develop, but now you're getting into the semi-final stage. So in a semi-final against Manchester United, for example, will we see these young players play? I doubt it very much. So I think now getting into the semi-final is a serious side of things. So it'll be important, because trophies are always important.
John, it's 15 games now unbeaten for Liverpool, real momentum building. But throughout that period, Jurgen Klopp's made changes through many games, and the players seem to be coming in throughout the squad and still maintaining the good form and good results.
Yeah, and of course we're going to be without Coutinho now as one of our most important players. But it's always said that the way the team plays is important, that everybody has a value. So yes, I think we will miss him, but I think, you know, we have enough confidence, enough quality in the squad. But of course, as you say, it's only 15 games gone, you know, so it's 15 games unbeaten. There's still a long way to go, and he's not getting carried away, because we still have to show this level of intensity, determination, desire and humility all the way through to the end of the season. But I'm sure with Jurgen Klopp there, he'll keep the lads' feet firmly on the ground and keep them motivated and focused on each game and take it as it comes.
John, looking ahead to this weekend, we've got Coutinho out, Firmino's a doubt, Sturridge is a doubt, Lallana touch and go whether he'll be fit or not. But Origi stepped in, 2 goals in 2. He seems to be filling those attacking boots very well.
Yes, I mean, you always want your best players available. So, of course, you know, we will be missing a few players. But, you know, with what we have, which is, and the confidence they were actually playing with, we should still have enough to beat Bournemouth. But this is the Premier League. You see how well Bournemouth have done, even when they've actually lost. You saw them against Arsenal. So, you know, it'll be a test. But with the confidence that we actually have, I think that, you know, we should come through.
Just to finish with, John, wanted to ask you about Steven Gerrard. He called it a day last week, retiring from professional football. How good was he?
Oh, he was one of the best. I've always said him and Kenny are the two best players Liverpool have ever had. But Steven has been away for over a year. As much as he's announced his retirement, you know, in my opinion, when he went to America, yes, he went to America and, his career continued. But I mean, you know, he retired from English football or top quality football when he left Liverpool. So while this is the definitive retirement, it really comes as no surprise. But, you know, in terms of what he's achieved at Liverpool, you know, as I said, it's difficult to choose between him and Kenny. But those two for me have been the best in Liverpool ever.
John Barnes, thanks very much for joining us on the Five Times podcast.
Coming soon to a city near you, the Liverpool Legends. For more information and ticket prices, check out our websites, 5times.co.uk.
Right, let's speak to a man now who had a huge influence on so many young players coming through the Liverpool youth ranks into that first team. Of course, Tuesday night we saw a few young players from the academy making that step up to the first team and doing extremely well. Hughie McCauley joined us. It was a real proud night, wasn't it, for the academy against Leeds United on Tuesday?
Yeah, very good night. And the fact is, you're talking about two young players who I first seen last year playing against Manchester United for the under-18s. And they both did very, very well in that game. And it was arguably the under-18s' best performance against United. Beat them 4-0 on that occasion. And both Trent and Ben figured promptly in that game. And you want to keep an eye on them from then on in and think these could do well. And they've gone on and developed excellently, pushing on to the under-23s. And quite deservedly, moving up, and Jurgen Klopp's given an opportunity to play at first team level, and they both did exceptionally well, and hopefully in the future now stake the claim, the fact that they can play there, and a lot to learn, but first signs are really good signs, and excellent work for them, and excellent work for the academy.
Absolutely. I mean, Ben Woodburn scored a goal. He's only 17. Trent Alexander-Arnold, only 18. Still very, very young, as you say. Mm-hmm. You saw them last year in the 18s doing extremely well. But it is a big step, isn't it, to go from youth football into that first-team environment?
Yeah, a massive step. A massive step. And the good thing is they've both got the temperament and they've got both got the mental strength to handle a situation in front of a full house against Leeds and playing with senior players and against senior players. And the senior players there last night were there with them. They were helping them along, taking the ball off them in the right situations, giving that support. And the fact that they're both natural footballers blended in very nicely with what they were doing on the field. Trent is an excellent defender and breaks forward very, very quickly down that right-hand side and can combine very quickly with players he meets on his way, whether through midfield or through the attack. And when he can get in that wide position, delivers great balls, which you've seen for the first goal last night for Liverpool. And that's what he does very well. He's a good defender. I'm sure Jurgen Klopp and the coaches at Mold will be working a little bit more defensively as well with him on one or two things that he needs to strengthen up on. But that's all part of the learning process. But an excellent start for him. Ben comes on in the second half. And again, it's they're both high-energy players. And that's what takes your eye as well, isn't it? They're both high-energy players. They can both make a contribution through their energy up and down the field. With Ben, it's in and around the box as well. He is very instinctive, always looking for an eye for the goal. And you'll know about yourself in them situations, being a forward. So he's always looking to get in the end of crosses, which he did do for his first goal last night. What a dream start for him. And that's Ben Woodburn. He'll link up with midfield players in normal play. He'll work back defensively, which we've seen one or two signs of last night as well. And he wants to make his contribution. So he's a team player, but he's also an excellent individual player who can make things happen in and around the penalty area. So two good pre-season starts for both of them.
Yeah, H, I mean, you've been a coach in that position before when you've had young players breaking through into the first team. How do you maintain that focus for them for that next step?
It's bringing them back down to earth and getting them ready for the next game. That might be involved at first-team level. We don't know. If it's not, it's at under-23 level. And I'm sure Michael Beale and his coaching staff, under-23s, will get them prepared to play in the next game if that's where it is that they play. And they've got to keep the focus. And they've got to keep their attitude right. And they've got to prove to all the staff that they're worthy of another game. And they'll be looking forward to another game. And their attitude's going to stay the same, whatever team they play in. They've got to then they've got to convince players and they've got to convince staff, first and foremost, that they were worthy of the chance. They took the opportunity to impress the crowd, to impress the coaching staff. And now, going back to under-23 level again, that's the team they have to produce and they have to do well and wait for the opportunity to get another opportunity when the situation allows it to happen. Doesn't happen all the time. You have to be patient. And when it's available, I'm sure the manager is going to be thinking about those two players and what they can bring to the players and what they can give to the team. That's the key, isn't it? And how much they've learned from the game against Leeds. What can they pick up on? Things they've got to improve on. But certainly there's nothing wrong with their enthusiasm because they're both, as I said before, really high-energy players and they put a lot into a game. And both players who can impact on the game and can influence the results, certainly a lot of games on the 23 level. So hopefully in the future they can do it at the first team level.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask you, H, was you know, coming from the academy, spent so many years there as a coach. Did a first team manager ever ask for your advice with the young players that he inherited from the academy in and around the first team?
Yeah, I think that's an ongoing discussion that we have all the time with young players. Yes, they did. We talk about it in the changing room after the game. In my days, we were allowed into the changing room after the game, certainly the first team matches, and to help with the stuff that needed to go on, but also to discuss the game and discuss the players that had been involved in that game. And everybody was discussed in the right sort of way. even the young players and how they're going to improve and what they need to work on. I think that's an ongoing situation, and particularly now, the manager at the club at the moment has a really good relationship with the academy. I'm sure that conversation is ongoing with the coaches and what they need to work on. And a lot of it is fine-tuning. It's picking up now on the finer points to play at that level. They are good footballers, and they know the game. The game is played at a lot quicker pace, and they'll realise that now. And they have to make decisions quickly. They have to be in position quickly. And from there, then, they have to be able to hold their own and have that mental strength and that ability to influence the game and to do well for the team. And more importantly, the lads themselves will want to improve, will want to work harder to make sure that that opportunity they've had will move on to further opportunities down the line.
Yeah, I mean, they're still very young. We keep mentioning their age because they are so young. Ben Woodburn in 17, obviously Trent only 18. There's going to be mistakes along the way. There could be loss of form, you know, that expectancy may be a little bit higher because they've had a taste of first-team action. When they do fall out of line, perhaps, if they have been distracted, you know, look at social media as a real distraction to young players nowadays. Who brings them back in line? Is it you, the coach? Is it the parents, first-team manager? Who helps them with that?
I'd like to think it's a combination of the two. The structure and the family structure and that strength behind them certainly keeps them in good stead and keeps that focus and that stability at home. And then after that, yes, I think it is a coach. We were fortunate to work with some fantastic footballers, and you were part of that yourself at one time. And the thing is, I think we gain the trust of the players that we help develop over that period of time. And if players trust you, they'll come and they'll talk to you. And that's a general understanding and relationship that you will have with that player that's going to help him professionally. And after each game, whether it be 18s, 23s, first team level now, which is a lot more important from that point of view for their development now, because that's the stage they're at where they've moved on and they've made the debuts. But from a coaching point of view, they will be there. The coaches even at the academy will be there to talk to both those players on what they need to do, how they need to push on, what they need to focus on. And if the players themselves need any advice, then that will be a conversation that will take place. And they will have the confidence and the trust in their coach.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coaches who work with them now for years, to go and talk to them and to say, well, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? What do we need to do better in the game? Because they're watching. They're all watching. They're waiting to see how they do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a coach, you know, that distractions are one of the biggest things that can affect a player fulfilling that potential. Now, I've spoke about social media before. These young players, they're all on it. 50 or 100,000 followers. Is this a good thing? Would you allow it? Or is it best that they stay away from that and really focus on achieving, fulfilling that potential?
Well, I think the best ones do. I think the best ones are focused on what they've got to do. We do live in a different world nowadays in regards to social media. If it's not going to be one set of circumstances, it'll be another set of circumstances regarding social media. So they're out there anyway. The young players are out there anyway, and that's part of life nowadays. It's not even a football thing. It's a social thing. It's everywhere now. Everything is so open, and everybody knows what everybody else is doing, if you like. And that's the world we live in. from a football point of view, the more isolated you can keep yourself as regards to having your family, your close friends, and then being focused on what you have to do. It's your personal responsibility to do whatever you have to do to be in the best physical condition and the best mental condition to represent your football club, in our case, Liverpool. So my advice to them would always be to be selfish in that respect, to look after themselves, talk to the people that they trust, and continue to look for that advice that's going to get them where they want to get to. And only they will get themselves there eventually, but along with the expert advice and the friendship that they'll have and the confidence they'll get from talking to people who've already influenced their career along the road. So they will need the people around them to get them where they want to go to, yeah.
Great advice, H, and you've given it to so many players over the years, myself included, very grateful for that. But one player in particular who called it a day last week, Stephen Gerrard, who was magnificent for Liverpool, wasn't he, over the years? I mean, just tell us, you know, perhaps a couple of memories from what you have of Stephen, you know, growing up through the youth days and then into Liverpool's first team.
When we spoke about Stephen with his retirement from Liverpool and his last game a couple of years ago, if you like, in front of the cop, it's you remember all the key type incidents with Stephen, and some senior memories are obviously Istanbul and obviously the West Ham Cup final, if you like, that type of thing. But certainly as a young player, and I always say as a young player, Stephen was doing things then that he did later on playing in Liverpool's first team all the time, except that he's bigger, he's stronger, and he can do those things better. And that's Stephen. We talk about personal development and getting to where you want to go to. Stephen was focused. That's the key word, isn't it? Focused. He was focused all the time on where he wanted to be. Even as an 8 and 9 year old coming into the Centre of Excellence days at the Oval and the Sanctuary Sports Centre, you knew in the way he played his football, his five-a-side games, his commitment to the game, his winning mentality that followed him all the way through. And then we go to the local games against Everton and Manchester United, where he was desperate to do well in those games, which he did, and influence those games. And along the way, again, there was times where we needed to speak, we needed to sort things out. And they're the parts maybe that the general public don't see, because it's not all the best things all the time. It's times where you go through where you've got to sort things out for his own development and talk one or two things through. And that we did that with Stephen as well. So that's the development process that takes place all the time with young players, because it's a hard profession and it can be a cruel profession. So he was one who moved on and was confident of his own ability every time he played. So much so, but by the time he did make his debut, we were confident as coaches that given the right situation, he would step into that unfazed about what he has to do and what he had to do on the field. And he was playing with good players. He had fantastic natural ability. And he was going to make his presence felt more and more and more after the games he played, more and more games. He was going to get better and better. And he's fulfilled his dream and he's gone on and a fantastic career. And an iconic figure, not only in Manchester, but around the world. And a tremendous inspiration for young players everywhere to see what you can do. You know, the Stephen Gerrards of this world don't come along that often, but he was a lad, a local lad, who was determined to get where he wanted to get to. And he did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic insight, really, is from someone who gave so much to Liverpool Football Club. Hughie McCauley, thank you very much for joining us today on the Five Times podcast.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure, Neil.
This is the Five Times podcast, the voice of the ex-Liverpool players.
Right, let's start with the man who won the League Cup on a couple of occasions to go with so many others in a hugely successful career. Terry McDermott joins us on the Five Times podcast. Terry, you were at Anfield v Leeds. What did you make of that?
It was great that they blooded a few young kids, which was great. And one of them scoring, fantastic. Must have been fantastic for the parents of them young kids. I was very, very impressed with the right fullback. I thought he had a great game, certainly in the second half. So it was great. I mean, it wasn't a great game, let's be honest. It wasn't, the first half was very average, but second half was a lot better. Probably deserved to win, but it was just getting through, because obviously Liverpool got injuries and everything. But it was just great to see blood in them young kids, you know. I thought they all done very, very well.
It was quite brave, though, wasn't it, of Jurgen Klopp? You know, Ben Woodburn, he comes on, scores the goal. Trent Alexander-Arnold, local Scouse boy, playing right fullback, doing extremely well. Even Ajaria in midfield, 17, 18. These are 19-year-old, very, very young lads. But Jurgen Klopp's brave enough to play them in a quarter-final at Anfield in front of a full house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it must have been a great feeling for them, you know, certainly for their parents as well. You know, sometimes when you're involved in the game, you're in like a little bubble, aren't you? You tend not to wear everything that's around you, you know, but when you're sat in the stand like their parents and brothers and sisters and everything are sat there, must have been such a proud day for them. But to score a goal in the cup as well for the young lad, I just thought it was fantastic and great result, but one step from Wembley. Why, you know, so another visit there would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, how important were the senior players in that performance against Leeds? We're mentioning the young players who did extremely well, but the senior players around them, the likes of Lucas, Clavin, even Emre Can's probably seen as a more senior player as well, really helped the young players.
I think Lucas, without a shadow of a doubt, I mean, you can see on the pitch, you know, he's leading by example, really. He's not that big a guy, is he? Been playing centre-back. And, he, every time he's played there, he's never let us down. But we played some good stuff, some good football. We got a lot of quality going forward. And with them players coming back at the weekend, hopefully, like Lallana, who's obviously missed, Sturridge has got a bit of a knock. We get our best players. And unfortunately, our best player, I think, is going to be out for 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, we're going to miss him. But I think we're up to now, the season's been fantastic. You know, I think the football that we play, the excitement, the chances that we've created. And if they carry on like that, there's no reason why, come the end of the season, we're there or thereabouts. I'm not getting carried away and say we're going to win it. I'm saying, we've got a chance to win it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Lucas as well as a short time ago. We've seen him as a central midfield player and he's done very well. I mean, his speculation every transfer window is going to be leaving, but he's still been at Liverpool, longest serving player at the moment. He's been outstanding. But do you think that centre-half role now suits him a little bit more?
Without a doubt. He looked comfortable on the ball as well, which helps as well, panicking and that. He's probably, if it's anything, you know, because of his size, he's not the biggest, is he? You know, when you get big bruises up front, you know, they drop onto him, long balls into him, and he's not going to win many. But I tell you what, he does not put them off as well, doesn't he? He's not frightened to go and jump with them. He's not frightened to tackle for a midfield player. No, I think he's been really good, and he's good to have around your club, you know, because he seems a real, real nice guy.
Terry, I'm not sure if you're aware, but he knew a few people who were involved in that Brazilian tragedy, the plane crash recently in Colombia, and it was a tough night for him to play, but as you're saying, you couldn't have told, because he was exemplary out there and still performing to such a high standard.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, you've just told me that now, you know. But you obviously, he put it to the back of his mind, but as soon as that game finished, and, you know, he'd be in mourning like everybody else. It's tragic, absolutely tragic what's happened. And for him, so you've got to admire him even more, you know, to put on a performance like he did yesterday after, you know, having the bad news that he had early on in the afternoon, you know. So you've got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I just want to mention Coutinho. You said that he's been one of Liverpool's standout performers this season. It was a frustrating day for him against Sunderland. He had a man-to-man mark, something you don't see too often in modern-day football, but De Gea was on him, and it was a frustrating day for him, and then made worse by that injury.
Yeah, no, I mean, about 10 minutes ago, before he got injured, I turned around to Dave Johnson. I was watching the game with him, and I said to him, you know, look at that fella, he's following him everywhere he goes. You just watch what he does. He was a long-haired fella, wasn't he? And I said, just what, he'll watch, he'll be going wherever he goes, he'll be looking behind him. And then he actually got 20 yards away from him, and then, as soon as he'd lost the ball, you could see him looking around, where's Coutinho gone? And he eventually stood by him again. 2 minutes later, he does what he did. You know, that's sod law, isn't it? You know, but hey, we've got to show the people, they're going to have an opportunity, they've got to take it, haven't they?
Yeah. And a lot's been made of our defence this season. You know, a little bit of criticism. We've conceded some soft goals, but the back line that has performed, that seems a settled back line at the moment, with Karius in goal, Klein right full back, Matip and Lovren as a centre half partnership, and Milner. They've conceded 2 goals in 5 games together. Now they seem to be developing that understanding, and we don't give many chances away, do we?
No, well, I agree with that. You know, well, I was saying the other week I was talking with Tomo about it. And I thought, you know, because what we've got going forward, you know, we're going to score goals. It's what we concede. And he said, well, listen, when you look at the players that we've got, who were playing regular every week, he went through each one of them, at centre back, at right back, left back, he went through each one of them. He said, they've all had a great season. I said, yeah, they have. He said, but they keep conceding. He said, yes, but from free kicks and corners, that's when they score, and they're not, you know, going through us and things like that. He said it is from free kicks, and he's probably right. It is from free. So we can put that right, and not concede as many as we have done. Then we've got to be there or thereabouts. And I keep saying that, and I've said that for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. If we keep playing like we're playing and creating like we're creating and taking them chances, Liverpool, they've very much so now. They're so much like Newcastle were in 95, 96 when they nearly won the league that year. This is the nearest I've seen to that team, and that was a good team at Newcastle, and I think it can only get better at Liverpool.
Terry Mack, I wanted to ask you about the manager, Jurgen Klopp. He's clearly bringing the best out of the current team and squad, but what about the crowd as well on Saturday? You were there against Sunderland. He had a little bit of a G-up moment, and the crowd responded, and we ended up winning the game.
I know, and well, it's been absolutely like a breath of fresh air, absolutely brilliant, not frightened to make a decision on players. And sometimes that's the hardest thing when you've got to leave players out, or when you tell players they don't, you know, no longer needed. He's been a breath of fresh air, and you know what? And when you've seen him, what he did, he cares. He cares about Liverpool. He cares about them players. All right, players that are not playing don't think that way, but you can see his passion. And when he done that on it didn't half lift him as well, didn't it? The crowd got going, and then we go and win a game that was going to be very difficult. We won a 2-0, so keep it going.
He signed his new contract, didn't he, a short time ago, and do you think he's going to be in it for the long haul and see it through? You know, we're all enjoying what he's produced at the moment, attacking football, but there's been links of you know, likes of Bayern Munich wanting him and teams like that. But you think he'll see it out at Liverpool and hopefully bring the league title for us?
I do, Neil, yeah. I think he signed a 5-year contract. Let's hope he's here for 10 years. He's a breath of, I keep saying a breath of fresh air, but he is. He's passionate. He cares about the club. I've got no doubt in my mind, in 5 years' time, he'll still be here.
How good would he be to play for if you were playing nowadays, do you think?
I'd be too frightened to be Neil, you know, because when he gets that angry face on and his teeth, you know, I mean, he's got big teeth, hasn't he, you know? So I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure about that one, a bit of the wrong side of him, but I'd certainly love to play for him.
Is it right that you've got a book coming out in March?
I have, Neil, yeah. I've got in March, it's more or less doing that. I'm just finishing it off today, and then go to the publishers, and it's probably coming out in March, probably back end of March. So I'm looking forward to reading it, actually. I've not read it yet, so I'll do that in the next few weeks.
Is this the first book you've released? Why now?
Never intended to do it at all. Just that people have asked me, why have you never done a book? What everyone else do? Some people have done 2 or 3 books, you know. I've never done one. So I've got a couple of little stories I'm sure people are getting moved with.
What can we expect? And you're saying about a few of the stories, you know, must be plenty from your Liverpool time. Some of the best memories, perhaps?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been lucky enough. I've been everywhere I've been. I've enjoyed being there, you know. Sometimes you get to a club and you know what have I done here, but I even at Bury, I love playing at Bury. That's where I started my career out, and then went to Newcastle, where I still live there now, and obviously Liverpool, my glory days, if you like, you know, for 8 years I was here, and I loved every minute of it, and I'm just going to tell them little stories that people probably haven't heard of before. So looking forward to doing it, and looking forward to people buying it.
Terry Mack, I've got to ask you, you've won so many trophies throughout your career. You know, I'm looking here, 4 league titles, 2 league cups, 3 European cups, a UEFA Cup, PFA Player of the Year. any stand out? Is there one particular one that stands out as the biggest achievement for you?
I think, obviously, because on a personal point of view, winning the double player of the year in the same year, you know, which was the first time it's ever been done. It was never done before then. It's been done since then. But so that's from a personal point of view. But from a team point of view, playing for Liverpool is winning the European Cup for the first time, 1977. I'll never forget that. I mean, you never forget any games like that. But you know, we're beating Real Madrid, beating Bruges, and you know, beating them teams are brilliant. But you'll never ever forget all of the things that went on in Rome. It was unbelievable seeing 30,000 Liverpoolians in that stadium. Well, you don't forget them days, and to win the game is just incredible. So I'll never forget that, and that's probably the highlight of my career anyway.
Terry, Matt, we're looking forward to this book coming out. We can read all about those stories. And thanks for joining us on the Five Times podcast.
No problem. Cheers.
The final word on the Five Times podcast.
That's it for this week. My thanks to the guest, of course, Ewan McCauley, who gave us some great feedback there on what's next for the young players. Terry McDermott, who was on great form as ever. And John Barnes, what a great to listen to him, wasn't it? So it's Bournemouth away this weekend. They're doing okay in the league, 12th. Decent at home, it'll be a tough game, but let's hope we can maintain this momentum. 15 games unbeaten. Perhaps we may see Lallana back in the side for Mino. Whoever's out there, I'm sure they'll put a decent performance in. We'll talk all about that next week. Thanks for listening.